so excited to be back. I took a two-week break because we get a lot of things going on. I'm so excited about my REI Society, edu.com. We're eventually going to merge that into the REISociety.com, but I have been focusing for the last several weeks on recording my training programs like wholesaling and learning how to make $10,000 in the next 30 days. We went ahead and released my short-term vacation rental home, how to smart purchase a home in a destination of your choice that you love, that a guest will pay down for you, and you have a vacation home for free. We've also recorded the long-term rental investing, how to have a wealth-generating portfolio, homes that give you so many tax benefits and generates all those wealth generators that we've talked about in a previous episode, as well as, finally, my fix and flip course. We finished it up, and it's showing you how to impact your community by giving a thoughtful design in a flip home and to give a family a home, basically. That's what it's all about. So if you're interested in learning about any of these four topics, go to REISocietyedu.com. Eventually, that website will be merged to the REISociety.com website, and we'll do a whole makeover to launch the brand again. But REISocietyedu.com, click on the topic that you're most interested in, and you can find out more information. But that's why I just kind of disappeared for a couple of weeks, but we're back, and we're going to be offering you so much more content. In this episode, we're talking about rental myths. We're going to debunk rentals. So you've heard a couple of episodes with interviews from Chad Carson, Coach Carson, Steve Valentine. And you also heard me talk about in a solo episode about the five wealth generators for long-term rentals. In this episode, we're going to be talking about these. We're going to basically debunk rentals. Yeah, we're going to give you all of the glory. I mean, yeah, you've heard all the glory, what people's glory is with this, but you need to understand there's a hard and difficult side. All the gurus are not going to prepare you for what is to come, and I want to prepare you for what there is to come. Let's understand that you need to realize that this is a tough business, like I said, and you're going to be dealing with difficult people. Dealing with difficult people, even if you screen well, you just got to realize that something's going to always come up. In my REI Society Facebook group, the REI Society Connections group, I wrote out a story last night, actually, about a person who rented my property at one point, who was a car salesman, and he was commission-based, and he trained me from the get-go. And this was years ago. This wasn't any time recent. But he trained me from the get-go, and I started realizing that whenever he wanted to pay rent, it was whenever he paid rent. So I finally had to start pushing back and get tougher, and then it ended up in this big fight, and he threatened lawsuit and things like that. And honestly, he paid on time for a long time, probably a year or two. But in that last year, he started hitting some problems with his job, and he just decided he was going to do whatever he wanted to do. And after 6 months in that last year, I just couldn't take it anymore. It was bothering me and it was creating problems. So I had to confront the gentleman, and he screened well originally, but you just got to understand that something will come up, and you're going to realize that you have to know how to communicate with people. There again, I always pitch this book, but Never Split the Difference. That's negotiating, but it also tells you how to work with people, specifically difficult people. So that's something that you're going to have to understand, that this is not an easy transition into rentals. You will have problems. Another thing is a lot of people see the riches in the niches of long-term rentals, but they don't understand that it's going to take time for them to become wealthy in long-term rentals. Wealth building takes time, period. No matter what business you're in, unless you're going to win a lottery ticket, you're going to have to learn a business or a skill set. And you're learning the skill set of long-term rentals. So I want to prepare you with the fact that wealth building does take time, and it doesn't happen overnight when you become rich. You're not going to get rich overnight. It's best to start now, and realize that it takes consistent action over a long period of time. And that's what's going to get you to the point where you can benefit from those wealth generators we talked about in the other episode. There's also something that you need to understand, that this can be a time-consuming business if you don't set up the proper systems. You know, property management software, if you're managing this on your own, you need a property management software company. I have a company called Hemlane that I use personally, H-E-M-L-A-N-E, and I'll link that in on the show notes. But this is something that you're going to want, is a basically a CRM that can flow all of your rentals. That's going to give you the system with ease and your portfolio on the desktop. And you're going to understand the flow of your real estate and how everything can integrate well. But if you don't have that, you're keeping this up on a simple Excel spreadsheet and you're texting back and forth with your renters, your common friends, and they're giving you cash and you're not reporting it, you're just going to have some improper systems that can cause you problems over time when you slowly grow. I mean, some of this stuff, it can be easy like that in the beginning, but as you grow, especially after you get past 8 to 10, it becomes a little more difficult. When you get up to 100, like I had pre-recession. No. I apologize. I said that wrong. I did not have 100 pre-recession. I had 20 pre-recession. By 2018, I'm sorry, 2015, we had 100 rentals and we sold them between 2015 and 2018. If you have a lot of those, you can't be texting every single one of your renters, calling every single renter, and having them dump off checks and cash and putting it all in a little book. It's just going to become time consuming and become a chore for you. So systems like Hemlane, and there's other ones like Cozy and apartments.com and things like that, that also works. But a CRM is a must. And then you're on also realize that you need proper bookkeeping. We use QuickBooks, and I'm sure there's other bookkeeping systems out there. I think there's a Quicken rental property manager, but real estate property management in long-term rentals, whether you're managing or somebody else is doing it for you, there's going to be a lot of paperwork and a lot of bookkeeping. So you're going to have to archive that paperwork digitally, store it in the cloud, and have the bookkeeping in place. Another thing to consider is that some people become over-leveraged. I talked about equity stripping in a couple episodes ago, and a lot of people just get out there and just get crazy with it. They're pulling out equity hardcore, and it's causing a lot of hardship on them, especially when an economic storm comes to the forefront, and it requires them to go in panic mode because they can't pay if their renters can't pay. So you never want to become over leveraged and not have enough money in the bank where you can service your debt. So I would advise, don't ever go beyond 70% loan to value with your renters, your rentals, and make sure that these rentals can cash flow well. Never strip equity until you get paid down to at least below 50% loan to value. Then you can strip the equity up to 75% loan to value. So never go beyond 75%. All right, everybody, we're going to talk to you about our new sponsor for REI Society. It is PropStream. Big data for real estate tailored for you. If you don't know what PropStream is, you need to get it immediately. PropStream provides unmatched access to detailed property records nationwide. They have more data, more features, and investor tools than any other service out there. Trust me, I know. Unlimited searches let you evaluate specific properties or search their database for over 160 million records, both on and off market, that meet your exact investment criteria. Get to target motivated sellers, find cash buyers, accurate comps, especially if you're not a realtor and you need to get accurate comps. And then you have much more with their precise filtering system. This software allows you to work smarter and not harder. PropStream has more data, more features, and investor tools than any other product or service on the market today. You can identify your investment criteria, search, evaluate, and target. That's crucial, guys. PropStream's built-in marketing features make it easy for you to reach your prospects through customized postcards, email campaigns, landing pages, and ringless voicemails. You want to know where you can find properties left and right? You can do it through PropStream. This is where we get our best deals. Go to trial.propstreampro.com/REI Society. This is going to get you a 7-day free trial that you get to play around with. And if you text me, PropStream on my phone number, I will send you a live webinar that we did way back in the day that can tell you all about how to utilize this the correct way. So text 404-341-2897. Again, 404-341-2897. Text PropStream to this number, and I will send you a link to a video that teaches you how to utilize PropStream. So go ahead and subscribe today, trial.propstreampro.com/REI Society. Again, trial.propstreampro.com/REI Society. That's going to get you your 7-day free trial. Another thing that I see that people are just doing wrong is there's not enough analysis. They're just buying anything to have $100 positive a month. $100 cash flow or $200 cash flow each month is not going to do shit for you. Pardon my French, not going to do shit for you. Realize that you need to service your debts and you need to service it well. So here's what I do. I never buy anything unless I have a 20% cap rate. And if you don't understand what a cap rate or a capitalization rate is, it's basically the interest that you have on the money, on the debt. So we'll go into that in another episode, and I can teach you those basics here in one of the next upcoming episodes, and I will. But just realize, if you're not making at least a 20% return on investment, an ROI, then it's not a good deal. Some people are okay with 7 to 10 in certain parts of the country, maybe 10%, double digits, just getting to 10% in California is good. But a lot of my listeners are here in the Southeast. If you're not getting at least 20%, you're doing something wrong. So don't do it. Make sure that you're making at least $500 or more in cash flow. Here's the thing. When an economic store comes, your renters can't pay. You're going to have to work with them. And that's something that people don't want to hear. You can't just be a jerk every single time and bully them around and tell them you're going to evict them every single time. You're going to have to work with some people. And that's another thing that most people don't realize. That's where your negotiation skills comes in. That's why you need to read that book, Never Split the Difference. Let's talk about some good things, though. We've talked about all the negatives. We've talked about the cons. This whole episode's about debunking rentals and showing you those cons. But I want to make you feel better about it again. As we've learned, there is tax-free income through refinances. Cash you take out of your equity during a refinance is not considered income by the IRS. So realize there's a ton of creativity through strategic implementation of purchasing a rental property. And then guess what? The more assets you add to your balance sheet, the more you pay for the life you desire. You want an automobile that's going to cost you $1,000 a month, a really nice automobile. Well, guess what? Go get two homes that are paying you $500 a month in cash flow. And God, it's such an older book now, but I remember reading this right after I got out of high school. When Rich Dad Poor Dad came out by Robert Kiyosaki, he basically said in that book, from what I remember, and I need to go read it again. I haven't read it in years. I would highly recommend, if you've never read this book, read it. But he says, like, if you want a certain lifestyle, buy assets that produces income and cash flow that can offset that lifestyle. So the only reason I can go travel around the world like James Bond with my wife is because we have the cash flow, the business, the rental income, the short-term vacation rentals, all that brings in income that allows me to do that. And if I want to quit working for a few months, I can, because I have enough income coming in from my short-term rentals and my long-term rentals to offset my life. Granted, I don't want to quit working because I love what I do. Some days are better than others, just like anybody's job, but I can do that. So that's something that you want to realize, is the more properties you buy, the better it's going to be for you. Your life is going to become amazing because you have extra money that you don't necessarily have to work for over and over and over again. Yes, you've got to still work. Like I said, with the cons, there's going to be some interference or some collision into your life that you're going to have to deal with, but it will give you an amazing life. So here's the thing. I would also say that you can have that cost segregation with your property's values. So the cost of the real estate, the fair market value minus the land, is going to give you that cost segregation that you can actually, you can then take that value after you subtract the cost of land, and that's going to give you the value that you're going to divide 27 and a half years with, and you can deduct that off of your taxes every year. So let's just say with whatever dollar amount you have, a property allows you to deduct $6,000 a year. If you have 10,000, I'm sorry, if you have 10 homes that are allowing you to deduct $6,000 a year, just assume that I've added in cash flow. If you're an experienced real estate investor, assume I've already added in cash flow and things like that before you start knocking me. But I'm trying to teach basic real estate investing here. So let's assume you have $6,000 in write-offs and you have 10 homes at $60,000. You have $100,000 a year income. Now you're only being taxed on $40,000. This is really exciting. This is very beneficial for you. I really like the Burr strategy, and I've been doing this since before the other guys. I'm not going to name them by name, but since before they coined the term Burr, I've been doing this for years before they were wearing their diapers in the real estate world. But it's basically buying your fixer-upper, buying a good deal, and instead of flipping them, you keep them. So you buy the fixer-upper, you fix them up, it's a great deal, and instead of flipping them, you keep them. So basically, you're flipping a home and you're refinancing it. So it's buy, renovate, rent out, refinance, and repeat. That's the successful Burr. So buy, let's just break it down. Let's go over that term again. You're buying a fixer-upper, a distressed asset, and you're going to make it tenant-proof. And we teach a lot of this in my long-term rental class or training program, but you're going to have an asset that you're going to make tenant proof with like granite tops and tile floors or LVP. You're not going to do nice hardwoods or carpet. You're going to have consistent flooring all the way throughout. You're going to have flat paints on the walls, and anything you do to make the property tenant proof, you're going to do it, but you're also going to change out all the major mechanicals like the roof, the water heaters, the HVACs, and so on. So you're going to buy a distressed property, and you are going to add in all the mechanicals anew. They're going to be new. So basically, you just completed a flip, but then you're going to rent it out and refinance it. So that's your buy. Your rehab, this is the part that I really like. You're going to make the property, like I said, tenant-proof, but you're going to use those methods that last a long time. The reason why you're changing out all these mechanicals is so that you don't have to redo them till the day you sell it. So 15 years from, or actually maybe you don't even have to. Sometimes these HVACs last for 25 years. You might not even keep a property for 30 years. You might keep it for 15 years and say, that's cool. But you're deferring any maintenance issues so that you can have an easygoing rental that doesn't cause you problems except for the occasional leaky toilet. And it's great. You're going to use these methods that are going to last a long time. And that's the whole reasoning behind the rehab. So you rehab it to get the highest possible rents, AKA maybe turning a two bedroom into a three bedroom, something like converting a carport to a third bedroom and bathroom. So a 2-1 is now a 3-2. And that's it. Things like that. Renting it out, you're going to find a renter. You're going to screen it well. There's different websites for that. Again, I like Hemlane. They are awesome. I will link in a link in the show notes if you're interested in that. If you have one or two or 20 rentals and you're not using Hemlane, I am backing them 100%. They're badass. Here comes the refinance. After you rented it out, you're going to go ahead and get a conventional loan for your first 10 in your own name, because you can get conforming rates right now, September 2020. You can get a 3.1% interest rate on a conventional loan for an investment refinance. For a cash out refinance, you can get a 3.6. At least that's what I'm getting. Maybe somebody's getting better. But you can actually get all of your money back, or most of it. And your payments are as low as they have ever been because of these low interest rates. And rents are out the roof. I've got a property that was a flip that actually just, we went crazy with it. And I realized I wasn't going to make any money on it. And I didn't want to sell it. I need tax write-offs. So I decided to keep it as a rental, refinanced it. My mortgage payment is $600 a month, and I'm renting it out for $1,200. That's a $600 a month cash flow profit. And it's great. The only reason I could have made that deal work, that flip that went bad essentially, was because of these current low interest rates. If you're not buying assets right now, I'm going to be harsh. If you're not buying assets right now and you have the credit to do it, real estate assets in particular, because this is a freaking real estate show, you're a dumbass. I'm going to say it just like that. If you're not buying and you have the ability, now some of you may not have the ability because of credit or money in the bank and reserves like that. If you have the ability to borrow, you need to buy it right now. Get off this freaking podcast and go buy something right now, or you're a dumbass. I'm being frank. Once you're done with the refinance, you're repeating the process over and over and over again. And right now, for the foreseeable future, I would repeat this process like crazy because of these low interest rates. The Fed is saying that they're not going to increase the interest rates for a while because of the pandemic that we're in. So why wouldn't you do this? So go ahead, do this. And again, if you're interested in my long-term rental course, REISSocietyEDU.com is where you can learn more. And it actually takes you through a process and gives you actionable steps on how to purchase a property and keep it on your portfolio long-term. All right, guys. Thank you so much. See you in the next episode. Bye-bye.